Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 30th, 2020, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios. I'm in the studio right now. Yeah. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci on the latest development of a vaccine and when you might be able to stop wearing masks. It's going to be a while. We hear more about the competitive 1st Congressional District race. We get the latest on Boeing and how the South Carolina ports are doing, and a lot more in this episode, folks. Great episode here. Stick around. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. You know, what Halloween was like for you, how things are going, if you guys are locking things down, what's going on, we want to know. Again, that's 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 3,653 deaths, and currently there are 167,057 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of October 30th at 4 p.m. Okay, so let's give you some case stats that NPR compiled. Now, these are average new daily cases. So 3 weeks ago, we'd average 823 a day. 2 weeks ago, 872 cases a day. Last week, 935 cases. This week, 1,019 average new cases every day. Did you spot a trend, folks? They're going up. That's the trend. And that's not a good trend. Wow. Our current percent positive rate is 14.3%. There are currently 777 people hospitalized with COVID-19. 196 are in intensive care, and 93 are ventilated. These are not good numbers, folks. If you're listening to this on Halloween, happy Halloween. But that also means there are 3 days until Election Day, and more than 1.1 million South Carolinians have already voted, which is about 53% of all the votes cast in the 2016 election. And one of the biggest races we've been watching, you well know, is the 1st Congressional District race between incumbent Joe Cunningham and Republican State Representative Nancy Mace. It's a hot race because Cunningham flipped the seat in 2018 after nearly 4 decades of Republican control. Victoria Hansen of South Carolina Public Radio has this report on the two candidates.
Their latest political ads have changed. Democratic incumbent Joe Cunningham now features his 2-year-old son.
We teach our kids to respect others and find common ground. Yeah. But that's not what you see in Washington.
Republican challenger Nancy Mace appears in front of a Waffle House.
I've waited tables at the Waffle House, and as a single mom, I know every dollar counts.
But the message of each 1st Congressional District candidate remains largely the same. She's a fiscal conservative who served in the State House. He's a Washington newcomer who's gotten things done. And the partisan battle over who will serve this Lowcountry district is intense. 2 years ago, Cunningham flipped the seat, the first Democrat elected in decades. Then he didn't have to campaign during a pandemic.
I mean, you know, safety and health come first. Politics come last. And, you know, I wish we could all agree on that. We don't.
The 38-year-old has made most of his appearances virtually and kept his campaign theme of 2018, Lowcountry over party. Mace, meantime, has been criticized on social media for holding large in-person gatherings. She insists there has been social distancing. Both candidates have gotten the coronavirus. To survive economically, the congressman believes small businesses need more federal assistance. 42-year-old May says not so fast.
As we carry forward with more stimulus, more PPP for businesses, we've got to have someone who's going to say, Time out. How are we going to pay for all of this?
She blames House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for holding up another stimulus package and says Cunningham has chosen party over the Lowcountry.
He's voted with Nancy Pelosi 90% of the time.
Cunningham points out one of his first votes as a freshman congressman was against Pelosi as Speaker of the House. He says when it comes to stimulus, the Senate has been focused on something else.
COVID relief, a stimulus package. If there's going to be one committee working on the Senate side, it should be dedicated towards that, not towards, you know, running as Supreme Court justice through the nomination process just days before an election.
May says she's grateful to late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the opinion that ultimately allowed her to become the first female cadet to graduate from the Citadel. But she says President Trump is the president until the end of the year and did the right thing nominating the next justice. Cunningham is not surprised.
I know my opponent now worked for President Trump. She has told people, and I quote, I'm as pro-Trump as they come.
Like Cunningham's last opponent, Mace has the president's endorsement. Trump won the first congressional district in 2016 by 13 percentage points. Still, Cunningham claimed victory, although narrowly. Dr. Gibbs Knotts, a political scientist at the College of Charleston, says the district is changing.
It's a really, really suburban, highly educated district. And so it's a district that a Republican can win in, but obviously, as Joe Cunningham has shown, a Democrat can win.
The right Democrat, says Knotts, calling the suburbs the new battleground. Cunningham and Mace do agree the country is more divided. The congressman says the president hasn't always set a good example.
You watch his Twitter feed and you watch the things he says, and I think you see an absence of empathy.
Mace says the radical left has been responsible for much of the violence.
You want to use somebody's Twitter account as an excuse for violence in this country, and that's never an excuse.
She insists this race is not a referendum on the president. And unlike 2018, when Cunningham was first elected, record turnout is expected.
Thanks, Vic. You can find that report and more on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Our business section features news from two major economic drivers of the state, Boeing and the South Carolina Ports Authority. On its third quarter earnings call Wednesday, Boeing officials announced they would shed 7,000 more jobs in addition to the 16,000 the company said it would drop earlier this year. The company remains hampered by a lack of demand due to the pandemic and the struggles over the 737 MAX. Boeing had a net loss of $466 million on $14.1 billion in third quarter revenue. The commercial aircraft unit saw sales decline 56% from $8.2 billion in the third quarter of 2019 to just $3.6 billion this past quarter. So absolutely brutal there. Gave you some numbers for some background. And again, this is due to still weak demand and a slow air travel recovery, according to President and CEO Dave Calhoun. And the hope is for air travel to return to pre-pandemic levels in 3 years.
Airlines globally have begun to recover from the trough of greater than 90% decline in passenger traffic and revenue earlier this year. In fact, earlier this month, the TSA screened over 1 million passengers for the first time since mid-March. However, the overall recovery has been at a slower pace than we originally anticipated. As the domestic market recovery continues, the international markets remain at all-time lows. August domestic passenger traffic was 49% of 2019 levels, a 51% decline, whereas international passenger traffic was only 12% of the prior year, an 88% decline. International passenger traffic recovery remains challenged by the absence of a coordinated global policy on cross-border entry protocols.
Again, that weak demand, especially for international travel, continues to put a lot of pressure on the 787 Dreamliner, which in 2021 will be entirely produced in North Charleston. The consolidation was a huge decision, and now the company is looking to reduce 30% of its office space company-wide, according to CFO Greg Smith.
We rolled out a series of organizational realignments to streamline and simplify how we operate. Also, through our 787 study, it became evident that the consolidation to a single production location in South Carolina will make us more efficient and lower production and better positioned for the future. As a result, earlier this month, we made the decision to consolidate the 787 production in South Carolina by mid-21. We are approaching these business transformation efforts with rigor and thoughtful evaluation at each step.
The Dreamliner is a twin-aisle aircraft, and it is a long-haul workhorse. The production rate is currently 10 787s a month, and that will shift to 6 a month next year. There is currently a backlog of 475 planes. Still, this has a ripple effect for suppliers that build different parts of the aircraft, either in South Carolina or across the world. Smith discusses what all this means for them.
The reality is that our industry as a whole will simply build less over the coming years. And we have to help our industry partners recalibrate to that lower demand in the near term while maintaining stability as much as possible and positioning to return to growth in the medium to long term.
Now, Calhoun said air travelers should be reassured by extremely low chances of contracting COVID-19 while flying.
We're seeing encouraging industry data validating the safety of air travel. Recently, IATA published data outlining that of the over 1 billion people who have traveled by air this year, there have been fewer than 50 documented cases of transmission. This research was reinforced by a recent study by the U.S. Transportation Command and United Airlines that found the risk of contracting COVID-19 while flying is very low.
A lot to keep watching as Boeing continues to undergo big changes. But let us know if you've flown recently and tell us about your experience. We're very interested. 803-563-7169. We also recently heard a State of the Ports report from South Carolina Ports Authority President and CEO Jim Newsom. In a video, Newsom gave an overview of what was accomplished in the last fiscal year and what lays ahead.
If we look at 2020, as I said, we should not be deterred by the pandemic. We were on a record pace. The pandemic happened. We worked seamlessly through it. But we spent a record amount of capital expenditure this year in fiscal 2020. We announced a new import distribution center for Walmart, IDC 7, which is the first major foray into retail distribution for the port. We welcomed the largest container ship ever to come to the East Coast, the CMA CGM Brazil. And we did the Army Corps did the final harbor deepening contracts for the Charleston Harbor Deepening Project, which will give us the deepest harbor on the East Coast of the United States. So a lot accomplished in 2020, really a transformational year for the port and something that all of you should be very, very proud of.
Now, Dr. Joy Von Nessen, who's a research economist at the USC Darlamore School of Business, gave an informative economic overview of the factors at play specific to our economy and the port. Give a listen. Joey always has great information.
I think, first of all, when we think about the South Carolina economy, there are three main points that we need to consider. The first is that we have recovered about 62% of the total number of jobs that we lost between March and April of this year. South Carolina lost 276,000 jobs, approximately, which was about 13% of our workforce. And we've recovered 62% to date. And that's a fairly strong start for a recovery. And to put that in perspective, it took us about 5 years to recover 100% of the jobs that we lost following the 2008 financial crisis. So that's point number one. Point number two is that since the midsummer, we've actually slowed down the pace of the recovery that we are currently experiencing. That is, we've transitioned from a V-shape to a U-shape recovery pattern, what economists call a U-shape recovery, which is more of a slow and steady process of recovery. And that's where we are today in October of 2020. And then finally, when we think about the recovery to date, we need to be aware of the fact that it's been very uneven, particularly when we look at the labor market. So if we look at jobs that require some form of higher education, some form of post-secondary education, those have been recovering at a fairly fast pace. Job growth among those occupations are up 4% year to date, compared to jobs that don't require education beyond high school, where we see a loss of about 10% year to date. So that's a big spread. And the reason that's important is because from a business perspective or an industry perspective, if you're trying to assess how quickly your market is going to recover, it's important to understand who your consumers are and which bucket or buckets they fit into. And that's very much going to determine what your recovery pace looks like in the coming months.
So let's recap some of that top line information there. 62% of the jobs have been recovered so far this year. It took us 5 years to recover 100% of the jobs from the previous recession. So our recovery has also slowed down and is uneven depending on your level of education. Looking forward, Von Nessen is optimistic, especially on certain industries in the state.
Well, certainly in the long run, I'd say post-COVID, getting into the 2020s over the next 3 to 5 years, I'm very bullish on advanced manufacturing in South Carolina. All the competitive advantages that we've had over the past decade that have been driving our growth, those are still with us, and those are going to continue moving forward. If we look in the short run in terms of 2021, I would say there are two things to be looking at. Number one is the recovery of overall consumer spending, which clearly drives demand. There we've seen a recovery of about 70 to 80% of the total of where we were this time last year. So still down clearly, but we're moving in the right direction, we're recovering. And then secondly, we're also seeing fewer disruptions in supply chains. So if we look this summer, about 50% of manufacturers were reporting some form of supply chain disruption that they were having to deal with. That's now down to 30%. And if we just look at international suppliers alone, it's down to less than 10%. And part of the reason why is that if we look at China is recovering. They're a bit further down the road in terms of recovery compared to the US. Of course, they've been a bit further down the road on the process of COVID all along in terms of the initial outbreak and shutdown and recovery and so forth. So that's not unexpected. But in both cases, we're moving in the right direction.
So another recap here. Our biggest contributor to a strong economy, consumer spending, has recovered around 70 to 80%. It was up 1.4% in September alone. And supply chain disruptions are down as well. And that's even better abroad, so that's also positive news for the port. Now, before we leave the port's report, I want to give you an update on the harbor deepening project you've heard discussed for the past decade. Lieutenant Colonel Rachel Hundard, commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Charleston District, gives this update.
The Charleston Harbor Deepening Project is made up of 5 contracts in total. Contracts 1 through 3 comprise the entrance channel. Contracts 4 and 5 represent the lower harbor. The award of these final 2 contracts represents the completion of this project. With the award of contract 4, we complete the lower harbor channel, starting from the entrance channel and moving up to Hugh Leatherman Terminal. With the award of contract 5, which I will add we awarded a week earlier than expected, it will actually complete the entire harbor project, taking it all the way to the North Charleston Terminal. 52 feet is a big deal. What it means for us is that we become the deepest port on the East Coast, able to receive the post-Panamax ships anytime, any day, regardless of tidal restrictions. With the completion of this project, the return on investment will bring $6.40 for every $1 invested back to the state and to the nation.
Always a lot going on with the ports. And how do you spell port in South Carolina?
We're going to have the deepest port on the Atlantic coast. You know how you spell port? It's M-O-N-E-Y. That's how you spell port.
That was Governor Henry McMaster in Greenville introducing Senator Graham during the vice president's visit this week. It came up because Graham was critical in securing part of the federal funding for the deepening project. M-O-N-E-Y. So we're in another wave right now. Nationwide, we're breaking daily case records, the weather is getting colder across the country, and more folks are getting inside, which increases the likelihood of COVID-19 transmission. This is something officials have been fearing, and now it's happening. So far in our state, rates have been steadily increasing, but just think about the frontline medical professionals who experienced all of this in June and July. Remember that report we did? And just ask yourself, are we really going to put them through all of this again because you don't want to wear a mask, you want to go out and not socially distance? Think about it. Make decisions. So you're saying, Gavin, I know you're preaching to the choir, but when can we stop wearing masks? I hear you. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci sat down with National Institutes of Health Director Dr. Francis Collins on a Facebook Live the other day to discuss such things and the latest on vaccine development. Here's part of their important conversation.
Well, Francis, we never know absolutely for sure, but the projections that we have that I think and I hope will be reasonably accurate
that we will know sometime in December whether or not we have a safe and effective vaccine. And practically speaking, when will we be able to deploy that vaccine and get it to those individuals who need it the most, namely the prioritization that came from the ACIP and the National Academy of Medicine? I would think conservatively it would be sometime at the very end of December or the beginning of January.
These vaccines are designed in such a way that there is no way they can cause COVID-19. They're producing a small protein that's part of the virus, but it's not the intact virus. So there's no risk there of people around you from being in a trial. Just want to reassure people about that. How are we going to know? This is the most important question everybody has, that the vaccines really are going to be safe. Are corners being cut here because they hear the word warp speed and it sounds like it's, you know, just pressing forward no matter what? What's the reassurance you can provide here, Tony?
That's a reasonable question, Francis, that I believe you and I get more than any other question. The speed of this is a good thing because of the urgency of the situation. But the fact that we went from a sequence in January, actually January the 9th, to the beginning of the development on the 10th to the 15th, to 63 days later, phase one, and 6 months later, phase three, had nothing to do with compromise of safety nor of scientific integrity. It is a reflection, quite frankly, of the years and years of fundamental basic and clinical research that led to the development of the platform technologies that allowed us to make that very rapid switch from a sequence to a vaccine in phase three. In addition, the time frame is truncated by the fact that investments were made financially in the development of the production of doses so that they would be ready at exactly the same time. A question you asked a moment ago is when might we feel we can have doses ready? And I said the end of December, the beginning of January. If this were business as usual, there would have to have been a many month wait while the company gears up to make doses. We have now circumvented that by making a financial risk of making doses before we know it works. So I want to just assure everyone that we will know it's safe because of the fact that we have a 30,000 person trial in one, a 44,000 trial in another, and a 60,000 person trial in another. These individuals will be closely observed both for safety as well as efficacy.
Somebody's asking about what's going to happen as far as masking and social distancing. So if we have a vaccine that's been proven safe and effective and we start distributing it, like you're saying, late December, January, does that mean everybody can go back to life as they have enjoyed it in 2019, put away the masks, go to the bars, whatever?
Well, there's a short answer and a longer answer to that. The short answer is absolutely not. Yeah. The longer answer is that what we likely will have, as the efficacy of the vaccine is shown at the population level, we will have a gradual relaxation of some of the stringent public health measures, never to be abandoned. I can foresee that even with a really good vaccine, that mask wearing will continue well into the third or fourth quarter of 2021. Then what likely will happen when you talk about normality, there will be a graded, gradual progression towards normality. Some examples, I believe restaurants might be able to do indoor at moderate, if not full capacity. Theaters will then be able to seat people, maybe not initially at full capacity, but working your way to that. Sports events will then have spectators, very likely in graded amounts with regard to capacity. So that ultimately, when we get this under control, not only at the domestic, but at the global level, we will start to approach what we call normal. I don't think, Francis, that it's going to be at a level where people are going to feel like there are no public health measures to be implemented until we get to the end of 2021, at least.
So again, get your flu shot, wear your mask, socially distance. I'll probably be wearing a mask at least through 2021, even if we get a vaccine. I mean, this is not a bad thing, wearing a mask around a bunch of people. Don't cough on me, bro. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. How you're handling things, if you contracted COVID-19, if you're working through the unemployment system, if you're trick-or-treating, if you're not changing, if you're wearing a mask, if you're still not going to the grocery store, let us know. We want to know. Things are changing, obviously, with the seasons, and it's important to keep up on what you all are doing. So tell us at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us your name, a brief message, and where you're calling from, and just a little bit of a taste about what's happening in your world. That being said, AT, do we have a taste of something happening in someone's world?
Oh, quite a delicious dish that we have this time.
This is the delicious dish.
Delicious dish, yes. We have a call from the Grand Strand, not our Grand Strand man, but another person, first-time caller, long-time listener,
he says. Good to hear.
Because we went in a little bit. We went in on Myrtle a little bit, and he also has some anatomical information for us. Innies and outies.
FYI, the league cannot give out any medical advice, but
okay, let's hit it. Let's
roll it.
All right. Hey, Gavin and AT. My name is Erin. I am a first time caller, but a long time listener. You guys have kept me company on my morning commute for years on Tuesday mornings and since COVID. Thankful to still have a morning commute, and you've kept me company for 2, sometimes 3 days a week with your updates. And for that, I thank you. It was time for me to call in, not only because you guys didn't have any phone calls from your Tuesday pod, but also because I live in Myrtle Beach and also because I'm a pediatrician. So there are a few things we need to address. First one, live in Myrtle Beach. I definitely caught the shade that you guys threw our way last week, which is probably deserved because of the people who vacation here and the things that go on while people are vacationing. But I do want to say that we have a strong community and the local scene is strong and good. Also, if you do ever come to Myrtle Beach for a pod, I will be there and can definitely get some other people there for you guys. So that would be great if COVID, if and when COVID ends and you guys can come down here. That would be great. Secondly, I'm a community pediatrician here in the area and wanted to answer your belly button questions. No, twins don't have 2 belly buttons. Twins just have 1 per. And I will tell you that whereas a lot of kids, when they're little, maybe 4 or 5 years old, still might have an outie, by the time people get to adolescence, the vast majority have an innie. So, yes, that's a natural transition, and you don't need secret plastic surgery to go from outie to innie. Also, by the time you're a grown-up, usually you have a little bit of fatty tissue in that area, just a little, so it kind of hides what used to be that outie. Regarding what's going on in our lives, let's see, I'm in healthcare, so have stayed employed, even though our day-to-day lives look a lot different. We've been checking people in our office from their cars. We shut down our waiting room. We only see well people in the morning, trying to keep up with public health and keep all of our kids vaccinated in the area, along with flu vaccine, which is going great. We would love to keep those flu numbers going down so we don't have the twindemic that people are talking about for this flu COVID winter season. The 3 kids are doing school at home. Super thankful for Horry County to have that virtual school option, and it has been challenging, but it has also been good in some ways. Nobody in the family has had COVID. We've been tested a couple times, not had it. Anyway, hope you guys have a great weekend. Oh, my voting experience. I voted early, waited in line 40 minutes. It was easy. Everybody was spaced out, and most people were masked. I was really thankful just to be able to vote, and I'm always thankful to live in a country where we can vote peacefully. I always get a little misty-eyed. I'm just thankful to be able to vote. All right. Well, that's it. Hope you guys have a good one. Bye.
Dr. Erin, first time, long time. Love it. She's throwing it back to the OG days of just Tuesday podcast. Oh my God. I forgot about that. Yeah. What is this, our 87th one?
This is
COVID
our
pod?
87th COVID pod.
Whoa.
Took
for
us
years.
2.5 years to get to 100. We've done 87. Since COVID started.
She definitely drops the hammer on us, which is rightfully deserved.
I don't think we were. We weren't being. I like Myrtle Beach.
I do. You've only been once.
But
I enjoyed it.
It was a wreck.
I have great friends down there too, and I'm trying to get back to the area just for, you know, come to visit.
The local color, the local flavor.
We want to get there. We definitely want to get there. Next spring, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But one of these days, we're going to have an event down there, and we can't wait to meet you, Dr. Aaron.
Yes.
And especially that important information about the belly buttons.
Oh, my gosh. My friend Courtney, I told her, I teased her last night, yeah. And I said, we got a doctor to call in. I don't know what they're going to say. So, and she's like, you haven't listened? I said, no, I gotta be fresh, baby. I got to be fresh. So, I mean, now I have this information, Aaron. Thank you so much. Yeah. Because, I mean, even the days after, Gavin can attest, I was like, I can't get the belly button off my mind. It's really stuck in my head.
And great to hear that she's doing everything right with her family and the voting. Just sounds like really, really great there for her. So really excited to hear about that, Dr. Aaron. Yes, I know twins don't have two belly buttons. I think she was being really deadpan right there.
Gavin was very nervous that you thought he actually thought that.
The only extra belly button I have is because of my appendectomy, which I don't want to talk about right now.
It's still too raw a wound.
5 years, still too fresh.
Too fresh.
AT, what were we going to talk about? We
today?
Had some things to talk about.
Well, we were gonna touch on Bly Manor.
Oh, finally, yeah.
Which we've finished, and I don't think it's very good. It's not much to talk about there.
You know, it's like a lot of things that I've been watching lately. That what was it? Away with
yes, I know.
Hillary Swank as an astronaut, which did not get renewed.
No, it got canceled.
There's just a lot of family drama, and we get this again with Bly Manor, and I'm just not really here for the family drama.
I don't want to say, I wanted ghosts, and there's a severe lack of ghosts.
Yes.
In the same way when we watched The Witch, and there was just not a lot of witch. So, like, I wanted ghosts, and there wasn't a lot of ghosts.
This is why I've been reverting to a lot of the old scary movies.
Yeah, of which you had me watch a movie last night.
Correct.
I watched it. It was Wishmaster.
Yes.
A 1997 classic.
Classic.
I have to say, just off the bat, this movie was very, very bad.
Yes. 100%.
I took some notes on this thing. In the very beginning, a guy gets killed with a crate. For no reason. It is literally...
The crate operator, the lift operator, that was intoxicated.
But that could have happened without the man dying.
Well, it comes into the end.
That's Sam Raimi's brother. That's why I recognize him. He was also on Hercules and Xena when we were growing up a lot. You didn't have cable. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
And these tie-ins are just so superfluous.
You don't know about Xena, Warrior Princess?
Xenia?
That's great. Okay, but, okay, The boyfriend has a very convenient gemologist job.
Of course. At university.
I noticed this. I don't know how you didn't notice this. So many cigarettes in this movie.
Probably because I'm always smoking.
Yeah, you are just like
if Philip Morris didn't want me to smoke, it would stop sending me free cartons of cigarettes.
I am shocked how many cigarettes were in this movie, though, because it was literally the Wishmaster has been locked in a gem for thousands of years.
Easy with any giveaways. Easy with the spoilers.
No spoilers. He's been locked in a gem for thousands of years, yes. And he gets out.
Correct.
And within 5 minutes of being out, he's ripping cigs.
I mean.
And I'm like, a dart this early is a lot, my guy.
How much did Philip Morris or RJ Reynolds have to pay for that kind of brand placement?
So
baby?
Much stuff.
And this is the 90s, right? So big tobacco is evil, but they're trying to make it look cool. Even a genie wants to smoke up.
A gin. Don't give it away. No.
Just kidding. Gavin Jackson Leigh did not endorse smoking or tobacco.
It was really bad. But then, like, Freddy Krueger was in this movie. There were also a lot of hints at other horror movies. So Freddy Krueger is in the guy, Robert Englund or whatever his name is. The Candyman guy is in it. And also, Robert Englund is a collector of artifacts. And in his dead god's room, they have...
No spoilers.
They have the statue of Pazuzu from The Exorcist.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one where she's like, yeah, that one's in
and
that
they probably
room.
Just went around like the lot and like, you know, Universal and like, what can we put in this museum here? Oh, that looks good.
That looks fine. I also liked that this girl, she must have been crazy at another time. They were talking about a mental break the main character was having earlier. And in the very first scene when she wakes the Wishmaster and she feels like she's going crazy, her sister goes, do I have to call Dr. Montiglio again? And I was like, ooh, Dr.
So
Montiglio, 90s. What a name. And you never meet Dr. Montiglio.
Of course not.
Why would you give it a name like that?
Why
Dr.
even bother
Montiglio?
With a mini, mini subplot like that?
Dr.
Anyway,
Montiglio.
The second one is on Amazon Prime, so I'm looking forward to watching the second one.
I will watch the second one.
I watched second Hellraiser, still no clarity, nothing better.
And
there,
I had you
confusing.
Watch an even better movie last night.
Some would say a cinematic epic, a film of...
Quintessentially 90s. It can't exist outside of the 90s. You watched Con Air.
Correct. I was a passenger on Con Air.
What a film.
What a white knuckle, edge of your seat thriller, folks.
I mean, you guys have to, anyone listening needs to watch this movie just for Nicolas Cage's accent. It's a southern accent. That's about all
Alabama.
I can say. It's supposed to be Alabama, but it's just as much Texas, Alabama, South Carolina. It's like everything all at once. It's a mess.
And, you know, Con Air is the movie that you're flipping through the channels. You watch it midway through. It's on. You're like, what the heck? I'm going to
watch it.
But I had never seen the beginning of Con Air to find out how he became a con.
Yes.
I think I'm using that term correctly.
Correct, yes.
And he gets in a bar fight after returning from, like, you know, he's a veteran. He's a ranger.
Yes.
He's coming home to see his wife.
Yeah.
He's at a bar where she works, apparently, or something like that, and gets in a fight defending her honor bar guys. Mm-hmm. Ends up killing one. No spoilers. But then
It's very rainy.
He gets thrown into jail for standing
his
ground.
He's in full uniform.
And he's in Alabama.
Yeah. In Alabama.
a veteran is a ranger. Like, that is like a slap on your wrist, like parole, like,
but he's
probation, I should say. Like,
it just goes to show that his character is such a good guy. He bites the bullet and goes and does hard time to defend
like 13
honor.
13 years, right?
A long time. Years.
He would
he's
be,
never
with
met
his good
daughter.
Behavior, he would have been out in
his
like
his daughter
three.
Is like nine and he'd never met
anyway,
her.
Anyway, so this is probably seeming like a longer conversation, longer wind down, because AT and I are both in studio right now, so it's just really truth. But... You know, you're going to say, do I really want to watch this?
Yes,
it's a good break from reality. Yes, it's a good time to go back to the 90s. The acting is superb.
The guitar stabs. Talk about
just
adult good news.
The riff.
That's what it's like.
I told you yesterday, it's just like The Rock, but with a plane.
Exactly correct. Yeah. John Cusack is dynamite in this movie.
Also Pete Cusack.
Yeah. Pete Q.
And then you have a jacked Nick Cage and a
jacked
John Malkovich.
Yes.
And you're just like, what is this world?
But
the
then
90s.
Steve Buscemi
creepy
is in this
AF.
Movie. Ving Rhames is in this movie.
Everyone,
Dave Chappelle's in it for a
Dave
second,
Chappelle,
right?
Yeah.
Is it Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, there's so Bubba from Forrest Gump is in this movie.
Everybody.
He dies every single time. He's
right?
The one
diabetic.
He's diabetic.
Wow.
Yeah. There's so much going on. And it's, I mean, he kills people because they touch a rabbit, a little stuffed rabbit. And he's like,
well, that guy
down,
had it coming,
too. Put down the rabbit.
I mean, you're going to love this. You're gonna laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to wish you didn't watch it.
You're going to
laugh. It's going to be great.
You're going to laugh.
It's going to make you feel good.
It's Hobbs and Shaw all over again.
There was a connection. Oh, no. Then I watched Resident Evil.
Which is awful.
And
awful film.
One of the female drivers from Gone 60, that's gone.
Michelle Rodriguez is in it.
Okay,
Michelle Rodriguez
getting
is
my
in
my racing
she
videos.
Is, she's not in Gone in 60 Seconds, which is
she
a
is
Nick
in,
Cage
she,
movie.
But she is in.
Yes.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie is in Gone in 60 Seconds, and so is Robert Duvall, which is...
No one needs those details. But then I watched Resident Evil, and I was just like...
Terrible. It's bad. It's bad. It's
when
not
I'm on
like
a kick,
the games.
I'm on a kick of horrible... That's what I want right now.
You should watch
really
Fast and Furious then.
I don't need
to. The fact
to.
That you will watch those movies and not Fast and Furious is an indictment on your own character.
I can spin this.
Absolute
I
indictment.
Can spin this.
No.
I can easily spin
you
this.
Will never win election at this point.
I have 3 days to tell my people why I am not supporting Fast and Furious.
They're so good. You're not going to win.
Is it even streaming anywhere that's accessible?
I can just, all I got to say is I'm about family and you're not about family. You don't
see,
even like
so
Coronas
untrue.
And drinking Coronas with your
a
family.
A family of criminals.
No.
Is not family, AT.
You're
those are not the family
heroes.
Values
you're talking
I
about
believe
heroes.
In.
Numerous times has
heroes.
Saved the United States.
Disturbing where your priorities lay. Talking about criminals like they are good people.
Dom Toretto is an American hero. Take
Air.
It out, Gavin. Take it out.
Wow, that was a lot, folks. So hopefully you had a nice little wind down section there. We got a couple of days to the election. I know everyone's all juiced up.
It was a fight. That was a fight.
I also want to tell you to tune in to ETV on election night at 7 p.m. We're going to be hosting live election coverage with reporters in the field and talking to some guests on set, analyzing the results as they come in. Check it out, 7 o'clock, SCETV stations and South Carolina Public Radio stations, also on our socials. And thanks again for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or a voicemail like Aaron did at 803-563-7169. Stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Also, don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Look, my computer has a mask on. Mark. Hold on, I gotta send a picture.
Hold on.
I gotta send a picture
of
my mom.
Wait.
Oh, my friends are never gonna believe this.